This week, one dad's virtual reality has gotten too real, so he stepped back to 2D pixels. Another dad has continued his journey through Destiny 2 as the industry sours on the game. And for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, we meet Josh and his son Jack with an incredible two-computer Overwatch play of the game. All on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 4-month-old.
And I'm Jeff, I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
That is the first time I've gotten their ages right in, I think, like 5 episodes. 2.5 and 4. I think I'd been saying 3, and he's been 4 for a while. He's about to turn 5 months. Oh my
God. See, there you go. It's all right. Time is ticking by. You need another.
Oh my God. So 5 months is basically 6 months, and 6 months is basically a year.
Like this. You're basically, he's almost out in college. Oh. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's a dream. Oh, I hate to say it that way, but there's just some moments when you're with them and you're thinking, like, you know, when you're a teenager and beyond my responsibility, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Even I get that now. I get the Facebook memories. I'm like, oh, look how cute he was. And then, I remember the next 5 minutes of that cute photo. It was a mess on the ground. He'd be screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, and then slow pan up, and your current son is, like, setting the curtains on fire. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is so much better.
Oh, but, yeah, so I'm going to have to... What's great is that last week I had teased the thought that, like, we're struggling through the terrible twos, and I was going to ask you some questions, and I proceeded not to bring it up again for the entire episode.
We got distracted. That's
So we're going to swing that back around, but most importantly, it's time for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week, we feature an exceptional gaming dad, and often their kids, who are doing fatherhood and gaming so, so well. This week, we're featuring Josh and his son Jack, a dynamic duo playing Overwatch together. So now, this father-son sharing of a game, of a great game no less, it's almost reason enough to give the award. But the true story from behind this comes from the amazing play that the son Jack was making. So, but before we get into this for some context, with Overwatch, if you hadn't played it, which is excellent game, ton of fun, every live match there's a play of the game. So the best player, maybe he got a team kill, maybe he saved everybody. It's just an exceptional play, and they award, the game awards this one person play of the game. I've never won play of the game.
Okay. Like, that's okay.
My entire history of playing this game, I have never once
never
won play of the game. I've never done something well enough to merit recognition from this game. But... So we're going to paste the link to this in the show notes, and it needs to be seen to be believed. So what you have to set up the scene, Josh, the father, has stepped away from the keyboard for a moment while a live game is going on. Him and Jack are both playing. But Jack doesn't miss a single beat. With utter heroics, Jack is jumping between computer to computer to computer, playing both of the players for the live match that's going on.
Oh, that's crazy. That is nuts.
Just bam, bam, bam. Like, goes over this one, does what he needs to do, goes over the other one, playing this character, killing it, doing so great. Wins play of the game for the match as well. Which is like...
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for anybody who sees it, that's like, it's well-deserving, but the game itself awards play of the... Not only is he playing two characters at the same time to cover for his dad who had to take off... He wins play of the game.
He's making you look so bad right now.
It's just like, I can't do it playing one player.
Right.
And Jack is already so advanced that playing two players, he can still be the best player on the field.
Really, just to go over what's going on, is like the computers are not next to each other, really. He has to run in between them, so there's a delay.
it's not like he's sitting in the same seat, just kind of typing on two keyboards. He's running across the room, like practically diving in slow-mo, like with an epic score and a little bit of video editing, like it's a movie blockbuster. It's just So fantastic. This game has come up a bunch as far as one that really seems to play well with fathers and sons and daughters. Father and kids. There seems to be a real appeal for gamers. I'm surprised, Jeff, you haven't dipped your toe in yet.
Well, I did. I just found it overwhelming. I don't know how anyone could tell what's going on.
So here you are throwing shade at me.
Oh, yeah. I was in there. I was completely clueless. There's so much going on screen. I'm like, there's so many colors. Everything's saturated. I don't know what to hit. I don't know who's on my team. I have no idea. So he's way better than me. And
oh, man. So the so he's turning 10 years old. He's already well surpassed my abilities. when he was 6 years old, the father had built him a PC, and he favors PC over consoles, so he's joined the PC Master Race.
Right.
They've both been into Overwatch now for about a year and a half, and it's just been a great activity for the both of them. So we touch on this almost every week. It just really gives you hope that if your kids are into video games, like, you can get to this level of co-op and enjoyment together. Like, it's really reassuring, hopeful. Man, it is a ray of hope.
It's hopeful, yeah.
compared to what we started the show with. Such a downer note, but man, this is just a fantastic example. So hats off to our Gaming Dad Victory of the Week recipient, Josh, and to his incredibly talented Overwatch-playing son, Jack. Keep up the gaming, gentlemen. If you'd like to be nominated for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week Award or know somebody else deserving, please send along the information to us on our website at newdadgaming.com. Thanks. Yeah, so did you yourself get in any gaming these last few weeks?
You know what? I've been so deep into VR.
You've gone so far into the reality that is virtual.
Yeah, I had to take a little break. My eyes were just not having it. I was in Skyrim for lots of hours, and I felt that I would get an eye twitch during the day. I'm like, wow. I need to stop. I need to slow it down. So completely opposite of in virtual reality and feeling a world and being in that world, I went back to the 2D version of Stardew Valley.
Oh my god.
Which is totally out of the 90s graphics, pixels.
That could
just taking it easy.
That could not be further away from virtual reality.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, that is what an unbelievable jump. Like, how did that play out? Like, was it refreshing? Was it boring? Like, how on earth did you make that transition?
I'm definitely excited about VR. There's a lot of good things happening in it. It was a burnout. I had, my eyes weren't working properly. I just didn't really feel like diving into they're very serious games in VR. Like, you really have to be looking around and being active. I just kind of wanted to lay on the couch and, you know, half asleep, kind of stumble around on my farm. So that's what I did. And my wife watches me. That's the only game she'll watch me play. A little relationship experience. And married in the game, so that's there.
Like, to her or to someone else? Because that would get really awkward.
Well, it's to someone that has the same hair color as her, so I don't know. Does that count? I don't know.
You know, my Stardew Valley wife doesn't ask me to take out the garbage.
We have a kid in the game now, too. So it's exactly like real life. I just need another one to fill it out.
But complete 3D, utter immersion into absolute flat, barely any pixels on screen.
Not that.
And you had a great time.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'll get back into VR. Don't I'm not putting it down for very long. Yeah. we're going back there, so it's a matter of time.
So what were your playing sessions on what were you doing at any one time? I don't know that I've ever spent more than 2 hours in VR at one time.
It was I'll play for 5 minutes, and it was 10:30 at night, and I took the thing off. It was 1:30 in the morning.
Oof. Jeez,
and
okay.
Honest to God, that time was a blur. And it was in Skyrim, and I didn't want to be in Skyrim. I wanted to try some other games. I wanted to finish Until Dawn, The Rush of Blood. Just to do it, like I think you said you did it the previous week, so I wanted to finish it off. But no, I got stuck in Skyrim, discovering new areas. That's just super cool, and it's having a fun time.
Be nice if that makes me excited for when I do eventually get in there as well. But if you ever, I don't know if you've read any of the stories online where the people will fall asleep while wearing the VR helmet, and then they wake, and then they wake up, and that sensation of waking up in VR.
Oh man, that'd be freaky.
Because there's just, you don't quite have your bearings.
You're not there yet.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm in this strange world. Where the heck's going on?
Wow, no, that, I do not want to do that. I'd be waking up in front of like my companion in a snowy mountain cap.
Oh yeah, that could be just, I think it'd be utterly terrifying. So I'm trying my best not to get. Oh, but yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, so from my side, Destiny has kind of kept me hooked, which was...
Destiny again. Whoa.
Yeah, like I didn't... It's bizarre because I was so... As reported, like I think it was probably 4 weeks ago, like I was done. I had one character. It's like, all right, well, that's good. Did it. And I'd moved on to other things. And then a number of events came in, watched a couple videos. There was an update and off I went. And I'll say at this point too, like I almost have... my third character up to a 300 power. So with Destiny 2, you have light power, your weapons. This one's a 72. This has 72 power. This one has 100 power. This has 200. And you also have armor, and then if it, on average, comes out to whatever number, and then you have that much power, you're that much powerful in the game. With a cap of, I think with the expansion release, it went up to like 360. But I didn't, I didn't buy the expansion, so I think the highest I can get is like 310, 320. Whatever. For me, it was like, once I get to 300, they're done. So I chose a different class. There's three classes in the game, Titan, Warlock, and Hunter. I blasted through with a Warlock. And the funny thing, it is so much faster to go through the second and third time. Like, the first guy, I remember, it took me forever to get him up to 300.
Oh, yeah?
But this next guy, the thing is, like, you can share armor in between characters. So as soon as you reach a level, it's like, okay, this armor is only for level 14, but its power is ridiculous, right? So you just get catapulted up. And the thing about the way that what I learned about the game is that it gives you random gear based on your level, your light level, like how powerful you are. So if you're, you know, if you were 100, but then you got this super item, now you're 200, all your new items are going to be around 200 and more likely up. Oh yeah, so these guys just catapulted. It was like, it was much simpler than the first guy, but you know, still a bit of a grind. But it's good. It was just enjoyable. Like it was okay. I'll admit to it. What is kind of a weird way that I played it the second times. I'm trying to learn another language. I'm trying to pick up a bunch of podcasts for some new skills. So I'd be playing the game, but it's. I'm listening to these podcasts and these other shows to try to pick.
Oh, really?
And it sounds so bizarre. It's like, so is this game not fun enough that you're doing it? It's more like you've been through these motions before.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly enjoyable, but it's just like that. There's nothing really that fantastic about the audio. The music is beautiful. The sound effects are fantastic, but it's just like it's not. So absolutely critical to gameplay that you have to be like listening into every little sentence.
So okay, and you don't need to like hear someone coming up behind you kind of thing or whatever. Like it's
no, there's like indications about where they're shooting you from and such. And like, I think if I was playing anything competitive or any of the like the more intense modes, like they have these strikes, which are like kind of more advanced stuff, then I would do it. But like, yeah, so it was this weird kind of just chill, relaxed experience where it's like I'm playing this and grinding through, which is kind of old school RPG, just like grind it out, which is which is borderline meditative, honestly. And then I got these podcasts and these streams kind of going into my ear, and that sound getting through it. It was really nice, man. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't see any harm in that. I remember going through the old Final Fantasies that way, where you had to grind your level, and I had a great time. I put on like a mix CD. And just grind away.
For the kids at home, Jeff. For the kids at home, can you explain a mix CD?
What's a CD? What's a mix CD? Yeah, we didn't have Spotify or anything that streams music and random things. You had to get, you either had to burn your own CD or get albums from different people and then switch them out. Get up off your butt and go switch them.
So there's this program called Nero you always had on your computer, and you grabbed your various MP3s and you...
MP3s, what's that? They probably
even know that. Even worse is if you remember with cassettes. Like, I don't know if you ever put yourself...
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have a tape deck that had two cassettes and one's blank, and you're literally playing the song on one of the cassettes and having it record to the second.
Yep.
And just, I'll say
even
like,
off the radio. Do you remember off the radio? You'd listen for a song and you'd suddenly hit record.
Oh, that was the worst, because then you're listening to it later and it's like on KKKBL. You got this garbage radio announcer
memories.
In the background. Oh, but so. Okay, so I'm going to do an unheralded transition into because I desperately need to ask you about Terrible Twos, but we're going to swing back around to Destiny because there's some other interesting news about it, and that's how we'll close out the show.
Okay.
So Terrible Twos, what's up with that?
Yeah. They're terrible for a reason.
Yeah, like I said in the previous one, I think my line was it is a mental condition. Like it's not just a cliche with these kids.
No.
Oh, because okay, so I don't know if it's when you went through it, when either one did your kid just say no to everything?
Oh yeah, we had a phase like that for sure. They're testing you all the time. And they know what they can get away with, and they know what they can't, and they know what they can push. Or worst case scenario, they go to mom, ask something, and then if she says no, they go to dad. And dad doesn't know what mom said. There's no coordination.
Oh man, this is just like we could literally be offering him chocolate, and that for whatever we say to him is just immediately
like, no.
It's like, hey, this no. Yeah. And it's like, you didn't listen to the thing that I said. you just have this like gut reaction no to anything we'll ever say.
Yep.
So. It's just about, like, I find with him it's like flows, where if you imagine like the analogy I'd try to put in would be if you imagine a bike with gears.
Okay.
That if he's kind of moving in a direction, like it's kind of like if you start moving him in a direction, it's like first gear, second gear, third gear, you can get him going. It's momentum, and you know that progression of gears makes it easy. But if you don't work with that flow, it's like turning and then trying to start on like 18 gear. Like it's so hard. Like you just can't do it. Like it's utterly opposed. Like we have such a difficult time if you're not like shifting with his energy and trying to kind of direct him towards something as opposed to like hard stop, now we gotta go do this.
Right.
Because of course first he says no, and then if he burrows down into that no and decides that like, okay, this is my religion now, is just not doing that thing you need me to do.
Yeah, I like, again, they're going to, I remember, what is it, my oldest, he didn't say no, because he was talking like crazy at two. Mm-hmm. So he would say no, but in a way that he would explain it why it's bad. Like, no, I'd want this because I, you know, it would make me go to the bathroom and I can't play as much. Like, he would explain it to me on those kind of terms, not like that succinctly, but it was hard to argue with him because I could see he's getting close to just having those brainwaves and just outsmarting me, like, already at that point. I'm like, you know what, kid?
just wait till he picks up Overwatch, then you're screwed.
Yeah. Settle down. My the youngest was much easier, much quieter, but had his no phase. It was short-lived, though, because he realized that if he said no a lot, he put us in a bad mood, and he wanted us in a good mood, he wanted to be in a good mood, and then he gets the stuff he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just, it's just trial and error all the time.
Just constant, yeah. But so it's testing, man. Like, we're just trying to come at it with patience. I think, like, a lot of it too. Like, I'm trying to find ways that I can just tire him out, and I mean that honestly. It's just like he has so much. Like we've covered it before. He has so much energy.
Yeah.
To the point where I feel bad for him sometimes, because it's like Well, I mean, it's like time to go to bed, and he's just on.
He's just wired up.
He is in the stratosphere, and not from sugar or not from some sort of vent. He's just like every little muscle in his body is just pulsing with energy, and I'm asking him to what? Like lie down and be quiet?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm doing things like where we are just literally running outside, like as much as he's willing to do that, just so that like I can try to like burn off some of that energy.
Yeah.
Like I wish, but as soon as like I'm hoping like with some sports or we can find some real super physical activity that he can get into.
Yep.
You know, just to be able to consistently be able to, like, hey, you love playing soccer. Let's go play soccer for like an hour.
Right.
So I'd say swimming is his only one. Like you can get him to go swimming for 2-3 hours easy. So that's that's kind of our go-to. Yeah, and he'll just like run. The thing is, like, you have to as well, which really speaks to my need to stay in shape. It's like, I don't know, call it like the kid health plan.
Yeah, I could see relating it to video games. You're just upping his max energy level,
right?
Because he'll adapt, and then he'll get that next skill level up.
Man,
keep pushing.
I terrify myself sometimes. There's this. I watched a documentary once, and it was on this kid who scientifically had been built for with extra energy. Like his muscle mass and his muscle density was just entirely different than other kids. Like his strength was like he had way too much strength.
Yeah. Right?
It's like normally your kid, even of your size, you should be able to lift this, and he's like lifting double. So the dad's talking about, and he's rather like a normal looking kid, like relatively well adjusted. He just has energy for days. So like the dad would have to take him to a rock climbing gym at like 9 at night just to let him go up and down like a bunch, because he's got too much. He has to like burn it off. And there's parts of me that think like, okay, so are you one of these kids?
Should I get you tested for this? I have heard trampoline places, though, for some reason, just take it out of them.
We have tried that.
And then,
we've gone, I think, like twice, and the best part is like
no effect.
He certainly loved it, and I think like it definitely got the lead out for sure.
Yeah.
Best part is like the second time he went, though, is just like he so perfectly pinpointed the one thing he's not supposed to do. Did it. Like there's this like ramp one, and then like there's kind of like a non-foam area. It's kind of hard to get to. So the first thing he does is monkey his way up there, and he's kicking about. And then he has this poor minimum wage employee like staring at him, and then looking back at me, like looking back at him, and he's just laughing, and I'm staring at it like, okay, so I'm gonna have to try to wrangle him down. And of course I go and get him. No. And I'm like, come on. It's like, so for a lot of it, I ended up just, I worry it was almost catharsis for myself, but like I ended up just, they had one of those foam square pits.
Oh yeah.
So I was like hurling him like 8 feet in the air, just like, just flinging him about, and he's laughing his head off. But if you picture like that, like swinging motion, like full speed, 1, 2, 3, and then you let go, it's like that, but just basically as hard as I could throw him.
Jeez.
Oh, he loves the thrill, and then he would climb out, and he runs right back to me again.
Right.
And then, like I said, I look back at some of the photos. I'm like, you know, these don't look that good. Not exactly the safest mode, but...
No.
But he seemed to like it. But, yes, I don't know. Any other, like, ways that you guys dealt with either of your kids as they went through the terrible twos?
It's trial and error is not what you want to hear, because it's a lot of trial and a lot of errors, but what worked for one kid didn't work for the next kid, so I don't want to build that into you.
Listen, man, but I just need to get through this year, so
yeah. So I don't know, we had like, we kept routines, we made sure that he was going to bed at the exact same time no matter what, supper at the exact same time, no matter what. And that's hard to do, just even those two things, because life happens. You got another kid that's happened. And it's hard to stay on track. But we found the schedule is probably the best thing to do. But again, he'd go to his room to bed. He wouldn't necessarily sleep. So
He plays that.
He had his moments.
Yeah, he does it. So he'll go down to sleep. Like, he put on a blanket. Like, we've read a bunch of books. He's in blanket with his animals. The lights are off. But then you're watching the camera, and he just goes for like another hour.
Oh God.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not gonna go in and like yell at him to sleep, because he's just not quite ready. And eventually, he definitely goes down.
Yeah.
That's what he's got, man. And he wakes up and he's raring to go.
He's ready to go. Yeah. I never understood that. They could stay up to whatever hour of the night, you know, not get enough sleep, and then wake up ready to go again.
It is the dumbest human part. Like, it is so unfair. I have so many things to play and do.
Right, exactly. Come on.
But then we wake up and we're, you know, just miserable. So tired.
Yep.
And they start off at like 120. Yeah.
You guys need coffee first, and then you can at least try to break the day.
I laugh a bit because some of the first things he says in the morning is, "Daddy, coffee."
You're right, son. It's like, can you make it?
Yeah, that's the next step, I guess. But I guess it's become such a routine. He knows that, like, because I've walked him through, like, I'm trying to just talk him through anything that we're doing. It's like, okay, right. Now we're going to make coffee, and we're going to put it into here, and then get some water, you know, just try to get all the words going.
Yeah.
And every time, some of the ways he greets me in the morning, like, "Daddy, coffee." Like, oh, you are so right.
How'd you know? That's amazing.
Good boy. Good boy. Yeah. Okay, so there's no hope. Thanks for that.
No, you're basically screwed, so just try to survive.
Tune in next week when but we will. So let's do the second transition. No smoothness to it. Right back to Destiny 2. Because what was interesting about it is a report came out from an analyst deriding the game, really. Like, it was talking about how they have real concerns about the effect of Destiny 2 on the company's stock price, because they're not sure, with the current unhappy player base and the players leaving the game, that they're going to be able to meet like monetization goals for the year.
Right.
So from that, he, based on the furor from the forums and Reddit, as well as numbers off of Steam, where else you get some player numbers. Like, let's say for the first Destiny at this time in its life cycle, there was 10,000 players. Now, concurrently, this time now there's only like 7,000. So there's concerns like, okay, you guys have not built a good enough product to keep people engaged, and there's all this backlash from the way you've monetized things. So they're concerned about what the long-term health of the game. So that was, of course, like the flashy headline that went all over the place. Any gaming site, Destiny 2 in trouble, Destiny 2's future in doubt, just based on this one analyst's, you know. It's just like, so interesting news enough. I mean, obviously, like, we've covered kind of like the whole loot box monetization nonsense before, but more interesting I found is just the thought of games and these companies as massive public entities, as opposed to dealers of this enjoyment and dealers of this hobby that we kind of had as kids. Like when you hear, you know, this game that you like, and specifically though, I mean, like, you as a question, like, when you hear that this game is going to affect the company's bottom line and there's like worry about its long-term viability, like how does that strike you given your history with gaming?
Oh, it's horrible. I feel like, the one that did it for me, just to see, kind of give an example, was Final Fantasy 15. Mm-hmm. So they had, like, first of all, the game wasn't that great. Then they came out with DLC. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, now you're adding DLC onto, like, an RPG of, you know, one of my favorite games ever is Final Fantasy series, like, 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. And those were, like, games that were complete and done, and I spent tons of hours in them, completing them more than once and finding all the nooks and crannies. So now you got the DLC. They came up with a mobile game, which I don't know why they would do that. An anime series that kind of explained portions of the story, and then a movie. like a full CG movie.
Jeez.
So it's like they're putting it out as like almost like this whole Super Bowl of video games. Like it all has to happen at once. There's merchandise happening. There's all these other little mini games happening with the larger announcement. And it's just like it sucks the fun out of it. It sucks the magic out of it for me, at least. I kind of look on games as like they put so much into it. They give you what you want. They give you this experience, and then they kind of they support the game, maybe patch in some stuff that's not working correctly. But then everything's there, and if you want more, then maybe there's some DLC. But there's not like, hey, there's a mobile game. Hey, we're losing players. We need to integrate more loot boxes or custom costumes that cost you money. Like, I don't want to see that stuff in my games. I know there's a market for it, but it just cheapens it for me. Though it doesn't cheapen it for them. obviously it works. Yeah. And even other games like Grand Theft Auto 5, which is, it has a multiplayer component, it has a single player, but then there's those shark cards that you can buy. It's just like, you're cheapening my experience with the game. I want to play your game. Please don't show me the money, basically. Like, I showed you the money at the register. I don't want to see it online all the time.
I gave you my vote of confidence.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like it feels kind of like this is the really awkward teen phases. I mean,
yeah.
Well, it's good sense like look, it. Like if these games are expensive to produce, although there's some part of you that almost wishes that they would just either charge you monthly, like be honest about it. Like, look, if you're going to have this online huge experience, it's a monthly cost. Or this is a contained experience. Here's a one-time fee. And maybe it costs like 80. Like 80 is the price as opposed to 60. You know, maybe 60 is too low, whatever. But it's just, so there's these microtransactions. There's this opportunity to make extra money. And some people want to pay money. I mean, it's this weird.
Right. Like, I don't know how they tier it now.
It's like, I don't want to necessarily care about it. I mean, you know, off the top, as far as Overwatch, like playing that, like you don't really get any particular sense that like it's affecting anything, and they do it just like if you want to look a certain like really cool in a certain way, we're selling some extra things, like here they are, but that's about it. Like I think there people are just struggling in how to, the industry is just struggling in how to properly, clearly, and without angering the fan base, implement some extra monetization, which if there's need for them, if you're being just super greedy, it's worrisome. If you're trying to help support dev efforts and you're producing great stuff, great. Again, we'll come back to the example. Like we've hit on this a few times. Horizon Zero Dawn, that DLC.
Right.
Extra money for the developers. Awesome. Yeah. Like how great was that? Like that's...
Yeah, and it's, again, it's separate from the main story. Like you can still complete it without that piece.
Exactly.
Then you know what I mean? Like
Overwatch, again, like I mentioned, like, doesn't feel that bad. It's just like, all right, if you want to have a crazy spider costume, you pay $2 and then, or you don't. Just purely cosmetic. Doesn't feel, it's just curious because like other games have done purely cosmetic, non-game altering parts of it, and they did it in such a way that it pissed off people.
Yeah.
You know, many ways with like ultimately with Destiny, like there's not a lot you can do to buy anything that's going to really up your game against other players or anything. Like it's largely cosmetic, but it's just somehow the way that they did it was angry. Well, for instance, they took away features from the previous game that people really came to expect. They took away existing modes that players of the vanilla purchase had when the expansion came out. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's just that implementation.
Yeah, you can't do that because, like, now what are you doing? Like, now you're changing the game and you have to buy this added piece for what you had.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's, you know, they can, there must be a way to do it without angering people. There's a few bright examples where it happens. And, but, you know, from where we started, like, the thought of us whilst playing, getting inundated with these messages and items of like, oh, this is going to affect the company's stock price. Like this game is going to ruin a company. It is a weird new reality.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how much of that is true either, because I read online with the EA in Battlefront 2, like they said the loot boxes taking all that out would not affect their bottom line. So is it they are they just being greedy then? They just throw that in there because they know people will buy it?
Yeah, just
like, and it still did pretty well. Like, I know there was a big, you know, boycott. I know I didn't buy it. I canceled my pre-order, but they still topped the charts and came out pretty well in numbers.
Yeah, it's gonna be curious to watch that game. Like, where does that exist in 5 more months?
Right.
But
and we'll see what happens in the future. Like you said, weird, awkward teenage phase. We just need to clear up our face a little bit, you know, get out there, get a little bit more mature, pull up our pants, get a job,
get her driver's license or a beginner's permit.
Yeah, that's right.
Borrow dad's car and drive off to our first job at McDonald's. Oh, but that's, on that note though, we'll wrap it up here for the week. Thank you everybody so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us with questions or show ideas, anything else, you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. That's newdadgaming.com. If you'd like to find the podcast, you can find it on iTunes and Google Play or any other podcasting services. We're on social media with Facebook and Twitter if you want to reach us out that way. And we'd very much appreciate a subscribe, a like, and a pass along to any other dad who games. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 4-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
I should have said a terrible 2.5-year-old. Except, oh, because you said, sorry, when you put it like that, sentence structure makes it sound like he is terrible as opposed to acting terribly. I have a terribly acting 2.5-year-old, but lovable.
It's out there now.
Yeah, too late. We're done.
That's it.
He can hold that against me when he wants to borrow the car someday. Remember when you said this to the internet? Oh, son. Oh, all right, Jeff. See you next week.
See you later.